David Hochberg is in our studio.
Hey, John.
You want a second debate? That debate sounded like your show.
It did.
People screaming, chairs getting thrown. What's going on here? What the hell?
We don't scream. We talk loudly, number one. I don't mean to correct you, but that's a fact. I don't know. Why not? I mean, if they want to do it, you don't have to watch it, right? There's other things to do. If they want to debate, let them debate. Let them go out there and do their thing. And if people want to watch, people will watch. If you don't want to watch, there's thousands of other things you could do.
Yeah. If I were king, I'd say, okay, y'all had your chance. You know, shame on you if you fool me once. Shame on me if you debate twice. But maybe they would learn their lesson. I mean, wouldn't it be...
What's wrong with you?
I will finish this thought. Wouldn't it be nice if they did shake hands and they made a joint statement? Neither of them have done this on Twitter, but have said, you know what? We're just sick about what happened last time, too. Uh-huh. Nope. Stop smiling. Nobody benefited from this.
It's the speed jokes again.
We feel bad about this. And this is right out of Donald Trump's playbook. He could say, I love America so much. I so want to make it great that I start throwing punches and I'm fighting for you, right? I mean, he could do that. He doesn't. And I suppose a version of that could come from Joe Biden's lips, too. But neither of them have loaded that up. Biden said, bring it on. So we're going to get round two.
Bring it.
In a town hall format next time.
Will there be people in the, what, so they're going to sit in around? Oh, there'll be people in the audience asking questions?
I guess so. I don't know how they're going to distance it. Will there be masks and stuff like that? But the next format is town hall.
Cool.
I still like the idea of you get 10 minutes, you get 10 minutes with a moderator, and then I get a chance to rebut, but I got to wait my whole 10 minutes, and then I have a 10-minute conversation with the Chris Wallace again. I want to put them in one of those soundproof glass booths like they had on. You know, quiz shows where you can't hear the following answers or let them hear, but we won't hear them shouting back. So, David, let's talk a little bit about real estate business.
Yeah.
What's new there for you?
Still, rates are in the high twos, low threes. We're still seeing, the entire industry is seeing properties, if you're reasonably priced, anything under, it seems like anything under $500,000, all realtors will tell you. There's not enough inventory on the market for buyers right now. What are we seeing?
For sellers, you mean?
For sellers and buyers. Yeah. Right. There's not enough inventories for buyers to buy the inventory to get into the houses. And I think a lot of that has to do with the whole COVID thing, the migration out of the city and our listeners wanting to get into home ownership, especially with these low rates, even with the high real estate taxes. The low rates are offsetting the high real estate.
Do you get
taxes.
The sense you're getting a lot of first-time home buyers out there?
A ton of first-time home buyers. We're getting a lot of listeners, parents, sending their kids over in order to get pre-qualified. We have a firefighter right now, a young lady buying her first home, $210,000 home, right? All nervous, nervous excitement, not knowing what's going on. It's the biggest purchase of her life. So, you know, you have to walk through. Mom came with, you know, we had to explain to mom what's going on, and guess what? She qualified up to a $300,000 mortgage, smartly bought a place for like $210,000, $215,000.
Yeah, what are people putting down?
People are putting down whatever they want to put down. You could get in for as little as 3% down with Fannie Freddie loans, VA loans. You could get in with no money down.
20% was always the benchmark.
Yeah.
Are they below more than above?
No, most of our first-time home buyers are still 3 to 10%.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they would rather have that money in a reserve account after seeing what just happened. To make sure that they can make their payment if they get furloughed or lose their job.
It's kind of the boat my son is in. They
yeah.
20%. They didn't want to put 20% down.
And we had that debate about PMI and how PMI is bad or not bad. And we ran the numbers, and you're like, it's really only that much of a difference. I'm like, yeah, it's really only that much of a difference. And it really wasn't that big of a difference, and he was able to keep a large chunk of money
in
the bank.
You know what amazed them when they went to the closing? How many papers they had to sign.
Oh,
how many pages? That hasn't changed, huh?
Everything's a CYA. You're signing some type of disclaimer, some type of disclosure, because somebody sued somebody down the road for something, so there's about 150 to 200 documents. You don't have to sign 250
documents.
Does
it amaze you how much documentation you have to go through?
I'm numb to it. I've been doing it 20 years. So it's easier now, John, because a lot of it's electronic, right? A lot of it, you know, back in the day, we used to have to print out and FedEx it to everybody. Now it's just like, hey, email, click here, and away we go.
That DocuSign stuff scares me a little bit.
Why?
It didn't have anything to do with you guys, but once I did DocuSign something, I'm clicking, and I committed myself to something I had no intention of committing myself to.
I could see that.
And when I called, you know, especially with me, and then I called the company, I go, hey, it's John. They go, yeah, we got your signature right here. I go, yeah, you know what? I didn't mean that.
No.
And they held me to it.
Oh, did they really?
They were not going to back out.
Oh, that's not good.
And it cost me money and a headache that I won't go into anymore. But so that's...
That's why you need to read what, you know, you can't just click, click, click. You have to read what it is. It's easier because you can't just click, click, click.
I know that. But so at the closings, if you are there with a first time or a 12th time buyer,
yeah,
I would counsel all of you in that room who are there all of the time to remember we are there once in a blue moon.
Sure.
A few times in our lifetimes.
And that's why we recommend that you go with a real estate attorney that will explain
really?
All of the legal documents to you. Yeah, I'm not going to be the one explaining legal documents to you. I'm not an attorney. So that's why I always recommend a guy like David Schluter, who's on our show, and he's my personal attorney, you know, real estate attorney. Whenever I buy or sell stuff, he always handles all that for me and tells me what I have to be aware of. And, you know, it's worked out good over the past 20 years.
You told me the story. I need to take a break. We'll come back. But somebody who didn't have the money for a water heater.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who are so financially distressed right now. So are people taking the equity out of their homes right now?
Yes. Yes.
If that's something you're interested in, 312-981-7200. Hey, David Hochberg.
Yes, sir.
My wife and I, it says here, this is from 630, just closed on a refi with your company. I wanted to open a HELOC before I retire. How long do I have to wait before we apply? What's a HELOC?
Home equity line of credit that you could tap extra liquidity out of your home. We work with Sherry Jenna over at Republic Bank. So if the listener wants to send me, you know, just give us a call or send me an email, david@56david. I'll introduce you to Sherry. I strongly recommend to all of our listeners out there to secure a HELOC, especially when you don't need a HELOC, home equity line of credit. So you have it as a checkbook against your home when you do need it, when you unexpectedly need it in the future.
Does it literally come with little checks and you write them against your home?
100%.
And then you pay that back, though, right?
Well, you could either pay it back or you pay interest on the money.
Pay interest on it. What's the interest on those?
I think the interest right now is around 3.5%, 3.25%.
Really? That's
all? Yeah, interest only.
I thought it would be higher.
No, that's all it is.
Oh, it's interest only.
It's interest only.
So you're not paying down the principal.
Unless you borrow $1,000 and then you know, the interest is 10, 15 bucks, whatever the interest is. And instead of sending in the 10, 15 bucks, you send in $500 and then you're knocking down the principal.
If you're sitting on some equity in your home, I think of using a second mortgage or taking equity out of your home is something you would do to buy a $25,000 roof or help send your kid to college. But if you have a $400 water heater you need, it breaks my heart to think you don't have $400, but that's half of America.
Right.
But should they take money out of the equity of their home for something that inexpensive, $400?
Well, if they like to have hot water, yeah. I mean, it's really that simple, right? You want to take a cold shower? No. You want to wash your clothes in cold water? Yeah. You know, hot water is kind of a necessity for a lot of people, especially when cooking and whatnot. So
you get my point.
I know. I get
think
your
of
point.
These things is it's you, should you be using it like an emergency cash drawer?
Yes,
though?
Absolutely. Here, you could use the money for whatever you want to do. You're an adult and you're taking out a line of credit. Some people use it, and listen. That's why Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors, right? Everybody's got a different flavor they like. It's a flavor for every day of the week, every day of the month. Some people, you know, listeners out there take it out to do home additions. Some listeners take out a line of credit to fund their business. Some listeners take out a line of credit to enhance the value of their home. Maybe patch a roof. Maybe put in a fence. Maybe put in new windows. Who knows? So you could use a line of credit for whatever you want. You just have to be responsible. Pay the interest on the money, you know, the juice, and then you pay it back over time.
So what's the difference between a line of credit, though, a HELOC and a second mortgage or taking equity out?
That's a great question. Home equity loan is if you close on a $100,000 home equity loan, when you close, you're going to get $100,000 and it's going to have a fixed rate payment. If you have $50,000, pay it down by $50,000. The payment's going to stay the same until the end of the term, until all the money's paid back. You cannot go in and pull that money back out with a home equity loan. Home equity line of credit, it's a checkbook against your home. You could go in and go out like a yo-yo anytime you want. There's a lot of traders out there and a lot of self-employed individuals out there, especially what we're facing now, that are using their line of credit to fund their business. And they when the revenue starts picking up and coming back in, they use that revenue to pay down their line of credit.
Hey, Mike, you're on WGM with David Hochberg. What can we do for you, Mike?
Good morning. So my wife and I are looking at doing a refinance. We've been in our home for 5 years. Bought it with a USDA rural development loan, fixed 4.5% interest.
Sure.
I have a great credit score. The only debt I have is the house and $9,000 left in student loans. But with it being a 40-year-old home, we now have to do the repairs that should have been done or would need to be done. So we're trying to weigh the pros and cons between a HELOC with a refinance for a lower interest rate or do a cash-out refinance and do it all in just one payment. The repairs we need to do is the bathroom. We want to completely redo it. New flooring and new windows.
So how much do you loan your house now?
$134,000.
And what's the house worth?
I have no idea.
Well, give me your best guess. If you had to sell it today, how much?
If we had to sell it today without doing the repairs, we would sell it probably. We would list it between $165,000 and $170,000.
Okay, so
we're out in Northwest Indiana, very rural, 1 acre.
I got you.
1,580 square feet.
I got you. So finished. The great thing about USDA, you know, rural loans is you could buy it for 100%. You could finance your closing costs in, and there's, you know, it's a beautiful loan. But the challenge is, and you're not paying PMI on that loan, right? It's basically a beautiful one payment loan. You know, the challenge is your rate sucks. Okay, you're at 4.5%, and today, if you have good credit, you're in the low threes. So here's where you have to pivot. Does it make sense to get out of the USDA loan and maybe go into PMI, and it's an overall monthly pay play, right? The challenge is you owe $130,000 and the house is worth $165,000. There's not a lot of liquidity there to take out. There's not a lot of equity there to pull out of your house. So unless you're a veteran that you could do 100% finance cash out, you're kind of stuck with pulling money out of your home. And that's the only challenging thing. Unless you do a 203 construction loan with some type of FHA construction loan, which have low rates, which we also do those, and I'll be more than happy to talk with you about that after the show off the air.
Okay. What if we wanted to see exactly how much it was worth? Would it be worth it to either contact a local realtor or do a more like a home assessor or something like that?
Well, and I always recommend our listeners contact a local realtor in the area that knows the sticks and the bricks in the area, right? Don't order an appraisal because a lender cannot use an appraisal that's ordered by a consumer, a homeowner. It has to go through an appraisal management company. That was all part of Dodd-Frank. So I would not waste the money on ordering an appraisal. I would pick up the phone to call the realtor that helped you buy that home because that realtor knows the home that they helped you purchase. And they also know what's going on within the surrounding area of your current home to give you a best assessment of what the value is.
If folks want to reach you, Mr. Hochberg, how do they do that?
Simple. 855-56-DAVID, or they could go to 56david.com, or you go to wgndavid.com as well.
Okay, good luck to you on that. Thanks for the phone call, Mike. And if you want to talk to David off the air, go ahead and do that. But you got to get off the air now because I'm going to do the news.
Okay, go.
Good to see you, and we'll listen for you on Saturday, right?
10 until 1 this Saturday, yes.